I'm a truly blessed adding named Rick.
Amen.
First and foremost, I thank God. I thank God for everything, good, bad, and indifferent. I thank God for waking me up clean and to face whatever come down the pipe without complaining. Because I've been here long enough to understand that the moment I start complaining, I lose faith in God to fix whatever I complain about. So I try not to complain, even though I'm human and I'm an addict. But thank God for being clean on a Saturday. Yeah. Some people don't understand the significance of being clean on a Saturday. I also thank God for drugs. I thank God for drugs because if it had not been for drugs, I never would have got a chance to look at myself the way that I do. So I thank God for drugs. My topic is living the program. Living the program. Pay attention. Living the program. What is the program? The program is a God-given gift to addicts just like us. So if I'm not living the program, I'm going against what God has for me. The moment I walked in the door on October the 2nd of 1993, I was set up by God to be blessed. I didn't understand it, but I went into a meeting. Let me go back to my last day using, because I need to share some experiences so the newcomer can understand like he ain't alone. Any newcomers in the house, raise your hand. Newcomer, if you got one day clean, that's a lot of time. Matter of fact, in this program, one day clean is too much time to start over. So I came in this program. I remember the day. I remember the time and the year. October the 2nd of 1993. It was 3 p.m. in a abandoned building. I had ran home to my mom. And she was my biggest enabler. And I ran and I said, "Mom, anybody ever been here been obsessed with $5? I ran to my mom and I said, "Mom, let me get $5. She did a first step on me. She said, "Baby, sit down, let me talk to you." She never raised her voice. She never cursed. I never heard my mom curse until this day. So she said, "Sit down, let me talk to you." I said, "Mom, I ain't got time. Just let me get $5. And when she get mad, she don't raise her voice. She just talked. "Sit down. Let me talk to you." And I said, all right. "When you get finished talking, can I get $5? And she said, "Sit down." So I sat down and she said to me, she said, "What I want you to do is go upstairs, pack your bags, and get out of my house." I said, "Mom, stop playing. You always put me out. Just let me get $5 and I'll leave." She said, "Go upstairs, pack your bags, and get the F out of my house." And I knew she was serious because she cursed. So I started going upstairs. Now, listen, I'm 39 years old at the time. I started going up the stairs and I started to cry. I got to about the sixth step. You know, the defect step. And I was crying like I could have won Academy Award that day. And I was crying. I was like, that kind of crying. No, you know, literally says we great ones who manipulate the truth. So she said, come here, baby. I said, I got $5, man. I got back down to it. I went, huh? She said, never mind. Don't even go upstairs. Just get the F out of my house. And I said, and I started walking to the front door, and I started making more noise going to the front door than I was going upstairs. She said, baby, come here. I said, $5. I got to, she said, give me my key and get the F out of my house. So I handed her the key, and I started walking towards the door, and I heard her pick up the phone. And you know, back then, she still had the dial thing, because you could hear it go. And she was talking to the police. She said, come and get him. I'm at so-and-so, and I don't want him in my house. And I'm listening like, I know I got warrants. I'm not going to jail. So I dashed out of the house, and check this out. She was every name in the book. You ever called your mom out a name? That's a terrible thing to do, man. Especially when you get clean and understand what you did back then. So I said, I ran back around to the abandoned building where I used to live at. It was only a block and a half away. And I stayed in the front part of this room, and it was like beautifully decorated with jars and buckets of piss. Pay attention, newcomer. Because if you don't remember your last day, chances are you don't have one yet. So I began to it was cold that day. And so I didn't understand what I was doing, and I just wanted to get high. And so I pulled up the rug off the floor, and I got up underneath it in a fetal position. And I said three words. And that was the most powerful words that I had ever said in my life. I said, God, help me. And see, God won't move unless you're in position. I was in position, man. I didn't know. Only time I used God is say, God, just let Paco be there. And so I laid on the floor, and about like 2 minutes, 3 minutes after the prayer, another guy came in the abandoned building. He belonged to AAA. That's Active Addicts Anonymous. That's where a group of people who get high and help each other stay high all day long. But I didn't understand that God had heard my cry. So he came and he said, listen, man, my girlfriend is down detox. I need you to walk me down detox so I can visit her. And I looked up at him. I said, man, do you got $5? And I said, if you don't, just get the F out my face. He said, I tell you what, when we come back, I'll get you high. And I jumped up. I came from under the rug. And we walked down detox. It seemed like it was 2 days by the time we got there. And we got into the detox, and it wasn't visiting hours. They had a meeting called Narcotics Anonymous. The first time I had ever heard of Narcotics Anonymous. And to think about, just to think, like, the guy who was standing up there talking like I'm talking, he was telling them people he had 3 years clean. And I leaned over to my boy and said, he's lying. Me and him just got high the other day. Listen, time flies when you're getting low. And he was saying, listen, I didn't hear nothing else in the meeting, but I did hear him. The only thing that I heard him say was, if you use, you'll die. Everything else was like Charlie Brown. Wah, wah, wah. But what was happening, his spirit was talking to my spirit. See, God moved some kind of way. And because this is a God-given prayer, I'm going to talk about God. Right? So his spirit was talking to my spirit, and his spirit was saying to my spirit, I'm free. And I wanted it. This is the last day, you know? Listen, I'm talking about like when he got finished sharing what he was sharing, he came to me and said, man, it's good to see you, man. He wanted to give me a hug. I said, I'm not hugging you. You gay or something? So I sat down in the chair. He said, listen, if you want to get clean, just go ask Mr. Rambo, could you get in the detox? So I went in there and I said, Mr. Rambo, can I get up to detox? And it was on a Friday. He said, listen, son, I can't help you. Come back Monday, and I'll be able to help you. And I said, wait a minute. Wait, they said, if I use, I'll die. That's what they said. He said, listen, son, I can't help you. Go and come back Monday. I guess he wanted to see if I was serious. Yeah. So I went back in there where everybody was fellowshipping at in detox. And I sat down in a chair with my head in my hands. Didn't know what to do, and God wouldn't let me move. Come on, man. So everybody started leaving out. And the last guy that came out of the meeting, he hugged me. He said, stand up, let me hug you, because everything is going to be all right. And he hugged me, and I'm like this. He hugging me, and I'm like this. But that hug, that was the best hug I had ever had. And he left, and I sat down in a chair, and I'm the only one in detox in the dining room area where everybody had the meeting at. And I'm sitting there by myself. And here comes Mr. Rambo. He said, I thought I told you to come back Monday. And what came out of my mouth? It was like, if you want me to leave, call the police. Mr. Rambo looked at me in a funny kind of way and said, you wait right there. My heart started beating. I said, I'm going to jail. So 5 minutes later, he came back and he said, listen, son, I see you serious. They got a bed for you. Go upstairs. I've been clean ever since. And I don't understand that the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that I was using to get high. Listen, I'm high right now the way that I wanted to feel back then. Yeah. So this is a God-given program. And newcomers, you need to understand, listen, get yourself a sponsor. Mm-hmm. And listen, the sponsor ain't to tell you where to work, who to live with, where to go, how to get there. They're to take you to the 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 concepts. No more, no less. So I begin to work some steps, right? I just begin to work them. And every time I finish one, I would take it to my sponsor. And I said, I'm finished. He said, no. He said, you're not finished. This is just a book report. He said, now it's time to start living them. So I began to do my step work, and I sat down and did my fifth step with him, right? And he was over there writing stuff down. He said, I got something for you. And he gave me this list. He said, this is who you are. He said, number one, you got to stop being a liar. I wanted to change sponsors right there. He said, you're a cheater. He said, you're an emotional manipulator. He said, you're a thief. He said, you develop a defect called hoism. That's ho who don't know. He said, you insensitive, inconsiderate, you're selfish, you're greedy, you're a gossiper, you're intolerant, just like the disease. You're a procrastinator, you're lazy, you're a caretaker. I said, caretaker, that's a good thing. He said, no, no. He said, a caretaker is somebody you who you do something for and you really don't want to do it. He said, you're judgmental. You're an isolator. You sit up in a room and isolate. Even when you're telling your story, you isolate. Because you don't want to tell the truth. He said, you're self-righteous. Here go one. He said, you're a nuisance. He said, you're a runner. You're indifferent. You're a hostage taker. You're a hostage taker. He said, you control so much, the person you're controlling is a hostage and you the terrorist. He said, listen, if you just get rid of your image and ego, somebody can meet your character. And I'm saying, Dad, yeah, I wanted a new sponsor. Because that wasn't me. And so when he said all of this stuff and I started acting on it, I said, Dad, that is me. I ain't finished. He said, you're attention seeker. You're arrogant. You're not a big image. You're cool. Cool. He said, look in the dictionary. Cool was not so hot. Oh, that's what he told me. See, I don't know about nobody else. My sponsor put me in the dictionary. He said, you're trendy and you're repulsive. You're insecure. You're insidious. You're a sabotager. You're dishonest. Here go one. The women might can identify with. You're a nag. You got a foul mouth, Rick. You're brutal. You're deceitful. You're belligerent. You're sarcastic. And you hold secrets. You're neglectful. You're exploitative. You're flirtatious. You're rebellious. And you're in deep, deep, deep denial about the whole damn thing. I was. I didn't understand what he was trying to do. Right? He said, first, you got to start with the first step. And we talk about honesty. Honesty has nothing to do with telling the truth. Honesty has everything with how I live. If I live honest, I can always tell the truth. He knew me. And that's what I needed, somebody who knew me. See, I need to also say that Narcotics Anonymous did not save my life. God did. Narcotics Anonymous helped me to survive my emotions so I don't kill myself. Thank you, Narcotics Anonymous. This program is awesome, and I don't know who ain't working it, but in our literature it says, those who are clean and not work steps can possibly be more dangerous than someone using. So if you ain't working the steps, you still belong here. You're just going to tick the people off that's working steps. And when you start incorporating principles in your life, wait a minute. First, you need to understand the disease of addiction. The disease of addiction is denial, substitution, rationalization, justification, distrust of others, guilt, embarrassment, degradation, isolation, and loss of control are all results of the disease of addiction. Now we're talking about living the program. Hold up. Because when we live the program, we begin to start practicing principles such as hope, surrender, acceptance, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, faith, tolerance, patience, humility, unconditional love. No, unconditional love. It feels good loving somebody and somebody loves you back. I'm talking about this program has taught me how to love people, man. Because when I was, when I had like 10, 11, 12 years clean, I used to mess with newcomers. I'm the only one? Yeah. I'm talking about 10, 11 years clean. And all they had was a moment of silence. Today, I'm like an advocate for women today. You can't get me. Listen. A woman's heart is so, listen, a woman's heart should be so embedded in God. It takes a man to seek him just to find you. One more game. A woman's heart should be so embedded in God. It takes a man to seek him just to find you. I know the men mad at me. They mad at me. Oh yeah, the boys mad at me. The boys mad at me. Right? But you need to understand that like this program has taught me how to grow up. Because when I look at being in a storm, see, the storm is not there to hurt you. The storm is here. What the storm does, it forces you to do something that's impulsive. So you hurt you, not the storm. You make decisions based on the, what you think you can fix in the storm. All you got to do when you go through a storm is sit still. That's all you got. Sit still. I remember my mom used to say, listen, it's thunder and lightning. Cut the lights out, put the windows down, cut the TV off, and sit down. I didn't know she was my first sponsor. I didn't know that was my first sponsor, right? But she used to tell me stuff that now I understand why she tell me this. Listen, she used to say, listen, if don't stop using drugs. Drugs didn't bring me here. The exact nature that brought me here was I stopped listening to my first sponsor. I stopped listening. I began to rebel. I began to have peer pressure. Peer pressure took me further than I wanted to go and kept me longer than I wanted to stay. So I'm here. And I ain't going nowhere. Listen, for me to leave Narcotics Anonymous, I have to get abducted by aliens.
All right.
Listen, ain't no program like this. Listen, this is a program for people who want it, not for people who need it. I know people who don't be, listen, who ain't had a drink in their life belong up in this camp.
Yeah.
I don't know if he said my time is up, but I don't know if I got anybody got anything out of what I said. But I need to say that I love each and every one of you because I got something out of what I said. Thanks for understanding.
Hey, before everybody leaves, just get Ryan and Rivers and Man.